This is a podcast from the BBC.
Oh, it's a blinder today. Bumbleo Wednesday, yes.
It's a good one. Very BJ heavy, I would say, today.
Yeah, we do speak to someone called BJ who is one of our friends that just popped up on TV the other day. This happens now and again. Like, we had someone else on saying, like, they were just watching Big Brother one day and someone from their school just appears on it.
Oh, it's so weird when you see someone from your past.
Also, we discuss mysterious airport hotels on Bangers. There is something about them that's different to your average hotel. I do some important market audience research to see if people would buy a perfume, let's say, if we made one. And I appear to be in the Urban Dictionary because one of our listeners called me a name when I played the first Christmas song of the year. It's all here. It's all goodness. The Scott Mills Daily Podcast starts now. Scott Mills, BBC Radio 1. Sophie, our caller, got in touch yesterday, alarmed that the TV is already getting full up of those perfume ads. You know, the ones that are full of cliches, often dimly lit, sometimes in black and white, sometimes windswept hair, sometimes the people are wet for no reason.
Yeah, but they're generally very arty, aren't they?
Half undressed. Sometimes there's a beach, a canal, a river, a field. There's plenty of people laying down and a lot of people pouting.
Yeah.
And I was genuinely surprised when we talked about the perfume ad yesterday, how many people still wear the celebrity endorsed ones.
Mm.
And like, also how many people don't tell their friends when people are like, what is that? They won't be like, oh, it's Celine Dion, actually.
Well, you don't want to say, do you?
No, often
old pop stars as well. Not even the current ones, which you might be embarrassed enough about.
We found out that Michael Bublé had one yesterday.
Yeah.
And one of our listeners, when people ask, because it actually smells quite nice, he doesn't say, oh, it's Michael Bublé. He's like, oh, I got it in America.
Well, doesn't Mark Wright have one? Did we find that out yesterday?
Yes. I don't know whether we mentioned it on air, but I think, from memory, Mark Wright's one was called Mr. Wright, and the female version was Mrs. Wright.
Now, it might be lovely, but I'm not going to tell my friends if they're like, oh, you smell good. What are you wearing? It's like, Mark Wright.
Yeah, I get it. But I am going to call some people who messaged yesterday, who got in touch, saying that they still wear celebrity colognes, because I was quite amazed by how many people still do. And they've been doing it since like they were a kid, you know, and their gran used to buy it. I'm going to call some people and see if maybe they would consider switching from that current celebrity to maybe a new one if we were to, let's say, make a perfume.
Scott Mills.
Oh, I really hope Post Malone doesn't aftershave soon. Imagine what that would smell like. Susan of Fife got complimented on hers the other day. Little did they know it was Tulisa. That's incredible. Some of them are quite nice. For instance, Camilla, her boyfriend got given Dermot O'Leary's aftershave for Christmas and he wears it every day. Also, we've got Rachel in Edinburgh. Her boyfriend exclusively wore David Beckham aftershave for years. She secretly still loves it. Right, I'm going to call some people back to see if there is a thirst for a new celeb perfume on the quite crowded market. This is from people that texted us yesterday. A bit of research for me, really.
Hello?
Hello, is that Chloe?
Yeah, it is.
Hello there. Did you text Radio 1 yesterday?
I did. It was me.
I wonder if you could spare just a few valuable moments of your time for a few questions.
Yeah, no problem.
And what did you say in your text?
I said that Katy Perry has a couple of perfumes out, but the red one, which I've found out is called Killer Queen, is my absolute go-to. It's my favourite.
Since what age?
Well, I'm 19 now, probably going on 5 years.
Yeah. Okay. So it's kind of always been with you since you started wearing cologne.
Absolutely.
Let me ask you this. How likely would you be persuaded to move to another celebrity perfume? Very likely, likely, very unlikely, never.
Very unlikely.
Okay, I'll just put that down. If a Radio 1 DJ was to release a perfume, who would you choose from this drop-down? Scott Mills, Clara Amfo, Matt Edmondson, Greg James.
Oh, it'd have to be Greg James.
I knew you were going to say that. That one would be called Breakfast by Greg James.
It's already got a good name.
What would Matt Edmondson's be, Chris?
Moth.
Moth by Matt Edmondson.
Beautiful.
Or A Bop by Clara Amfo. All right, thanks very much for your time.
No problem.
All
thank
right, then.
You.
Bye, bye, bye.
Your market research voice is amazing. See, it's so formal. A couple of moments of your valuable time.
That's
please.
What they say in the streets, isn't it? See, if I'd gone out into the streets, I don't think she would have stopped. Because I was on the phone, just went through with it.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah.
Let's try another one.
Hello, Amy speaking.
Hello, sorry to call you. Is now a good time to speak?
Yeah, all good, all good. I've just finished bathing my tortoise.
That's one.
Yeah. Hello there. Anyway, you texted Radio 1 yesterday, didn't you?
Yes.
And you told us that you do wear a celebrity-endorsed perfume.
I do wear a celebrity-endorsed perfume.
All right, and which one is that, please?
Do I have to admit it?
Yes.
Britney Spears.
Still now.
The Britney Spears one. Still now. Still as a 28-year-old, like, with a job, I still prefer Britney Spears perfume.
Well, do you think it normally serves the unemployed, do you?
Not at all. Not at all. It started when it was just the cheapest thing to buy from our favourite bargain shop.
Yeah, I mean, it is cheap. Okay, so would you likely to be persuaded to move to another celebrity perfume? If you could answer very unlikely, likely, very unlikely, never.
Likely.
Likely? Ooh. Okay. And how long have you been with Britney Spears?
Probably a good 10 years.
10 years, okay, thank you. And how often do you switch it up? Because there are lots of different Britney Spears ones, aren't there?
I switch it up maybe if we're going on a night out. I will wear a different perfume, but my everyday is a Britney.
Okay. And which Curious is it, just out of interest?
The blue one. And I don't even know the name. I just go in and look for the blue bottle.
Fascinating chat, this.
There we are. all right. And what's your preferred smell from the below? Newly creosoted fence. Leisure centre swimming pool. Brand new tennis balls. The inside of a DVD case. Rubber glove at the dentist. New tyres. Your gran's house. Freshly printed paper. Newly done spray tan. Old books. Spanish supermarkets.
I'm torn between tennis balls and spray tan.
Brand new tennis balls for me, Scott. That's
brand
a
new
great
tennis
shout.
Balls. That
I love
smell.
weird smells. That's an amazing shout.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, old books might be a good, like...
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you were to switch from Britney, it would be a mix of brand new tennis balls, spray tan and old books.
Yes, that okay. is what I'm saying.
Well, that's really helpful research. Thanks so much for your valuable time.
You're very welcome.
Thank
Have a good
you.
Day.
Bye-bye now. Bye-bye-bye.
This market research thing is great. Brand new tennis balls, what a smell.
Right, it's so good.
Mate, you pop that lid,
oh.
and there's often a bit of foil, a bit like Pringles.
Yeah.
And then you're...
Hoover
like,
it up.
Breathe it in.
Scott Mills.
Lauren in Bedford says Lady Gaga's perfume is actually heavenly. Don't let the black liquid put you off. What, the liquid is black? Fresh post-it notes. Mmm, that's lush. Craig in Birmingham.
Plastic paddling pool.
Yes, thanks, Karen, for that one.
Scott Mills.
I have found a new TV show, and I told you about this because I knew that you'd love it, but I couldn't believe it when I was watching it. One of the first things I saw was a friend of ours, someone that we used to know. And I, honestly, it took me a second to go, it's surely that's not him. But then I realised there's only one person we know with the name BJ and was like, oh my word, it is actually him. It's the BJ.
Right, so you text me and you were like, this is going to blow your mind. Put E4 on now. So yeah. I did. And it's a show called Club Rep Wars. And it's basically what happens in Zante.
Yeah.
Now, we used to DJ there a lot. And he was kind of BJ...
He was known on the resort,
yeah.
right?
He was working his way up because we were there like 3, 4, 5 years ago.
Yeah, he was like a promoter or something at that point. But he was very much introduced to me as, oh, this is BJ, everyone knows who he is.
Yeah, and they did. But now he's like, on this show, Club Rep Wars, he's like the Alan Sugar of Zante.
So there's two teams. I mean, you can sort of see where this is going. It's two sets of club reps, and they're sort of battling it out with tasks. Not similar tasks to The Apprentice, but it's sort of portrayed like The Apprentice. So BJ, I've not seen him for a couple of years, has suddenly got very serious.
Really
kind of arms crossed.
Yeah. And there's loads of like quick shots of him, like on X Factor, looking mean.
And no one wants to upset BJ.
Nobody. Not if you're a club rep.
Looking at you, six.
as my most responsible six. You've all done it before, you've all been away before, you should know what you're doing by now. You're representing my business, my club, my events company, my events and my neck on the line. So I need you to step up and really give it your all. You're all adults, I'm gonna treat you like adults, but if you start acting like children, I will treat you like children. I'm not scared to send anybody home. Is that understood?
I think this is his role model.
Just to make it perfectly clear, we both get 50% shares and I inject immediately on day one, no strings attached, £250,000.
That is who BJ was channeling there, definitely.
But just imagine for a second that they swap roles. Imagine we could get Sugar out to Xanti.
Do you know what,
and
right?
BJ to The Apprentice.
There's so much good stuff on TV. There's too much on TV, I keep saying this. But you introduced me to some absolute rubbish and then I get hooked.
Yeah.
What was that Ascot show?
Oh, absolutely Ascot. Yeah, yeah.
And it's full of idiots.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie, it's not the greatest TV show ever, but it is one of those that you watch and go, oh, I'm going to be watching this again and again and again.
And it
and
just
again.
Reminds us.
And it reminds me of Xanti. Right. It reminds me of, do you know what, Scott, on a personal level, reminds me of BJ. And I remember some of the nights out that we've had. We've not spoken to him for ages.
I know. Also, when I watched it, there was a standout performance from a guy called Leon, who is, well, one of the potential club reps. And he's always buzzing about everything, even when there's absolutely nothing going on. I'm buzzing though, Leon, there's nothing happening. No, but I'm buzzing. And he has a new way of greeting people. This is when he arrived in one of the villas to see all the other club reps. And I'm going to take this on as my new phrase. It is, go on, Leon.
Oi, oi, yous.
Oi, oi, yous.
Oi, oi, yous.
Oi, oi, yous. Let's all use it.
Oi, oi, yous.
Scott Mills.
Hi, Hannah in Bristol, who says this is exactly like when she saw someone from her school on Big Brother. You just don't expect them to be on the telly.
That was it.
So imagine my surprise when Chris Stark here texts me the other night when he's watching E4 to say someone that we know who runs club nights in Xanti is on TV. It's weird when you see someone who's like, why are they on?
Mm.
And he's kind of like the big kind of Simon Cowell, Alan Sugar boss trying to get all the club reps on side.
It's quite bizarre.
Hello, anyone?
Hello, boys. It's BJ. How you doing?
BJ.
I wonder how long before you'd be on. All right? I bet you, now that the Xanti season's finished, I bet you're somewhere else that's hot and sunny. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, you're not wrong. I'm currently in the Bahamas, staying at my sister's house.
Of course you are.
BJ, how many years of Xanti, Malia, Kavos, all the resorts has this been now?
I think I'm about 15 years in. I think my first year abroad was 2003, so...
It's crazy how many people you will have encountered on the Strip.
Yeah.
Think about the numbers involved, because you're there for... It's like a few months in the summer, isn't it?
Yeah, so I'm there for about 4 months a year the season really runs from. So, yeah, thousands, tens of thousands.
So many people listening right now will have encountered BJ in Xanti.
They may have been lucky enough to.
I think, yeah, a lot of people will have, actually. You know, when I was watching the show, it brought it all back to me of when we used to go out there, like the picture of the Strip, and you see the club there, and you've got the cocktails and Dreams Bar. Everyone that knows Xanti will know what I'm on about.
Yeah, it's very much quite a bit's changed over the last sort of 10, 15 years, but at the same time, nothing's changed at all.
I just couldn't believe it when Chris texted me going, right, you know BJ that we know from like doing Xanti? He's on the telly. And I was like, what do you mean? I turn it on and there you are looking all mean like Alan Sugar of Xanti.
BJ, I'm really concerned about you becoming famous because you've got amazing stories on us, on... And saying that, we've got amazing stories about you as well.
Yeah.
That's what I find funny about this new show that you're doing is that some of the stories that I remember from our nights out weren't exactly demonstrated in episode one. Because you've taken on this really serious role where you're like the boss.
He is the boss now.
Chris, I'm always serious. Occasionally I let my hair down and have a night out, but generally I'm there to, you know, to do my job, be serious. You know how it is.
Yeah, but I'm enjoying because like, in all the shots of you, they're like trying to make you into this like kind of like, they've all got to impress
folded
BJ.
Arms.
Folded arms. Folded arms, angry, and occasional removal and then a replacement of sunglasses to look mean. I'm really enjoying your villain role. It's great. It's got to fold your arms.
I have mixed up my sunglasses through the series, to be honest. So you'll see a few different pairs. Keep it fresh.
Yeah, of course. BJ, well, you can get them for €5 on that Strip. I'd like to know, like, because you are, they call you on the show King of Xanti, which you now are. What are your, from all the times that we went there to DJ, What are your memories of us from Zansi?
Well, I mean, there's obviously the famous legendary story involving the two steaks. Do you want me to tell that on radio?
Oh,
okay.
No.
Listen, what's up to you?
This is backfire.
Not the steaks. All right, bye.
Scott Mills.
On Wednesdays, we bumbleo. It's simple. We play an old song by the Gypsy Kings and celebrate being halfway through the working week.
It's random,
isn't it? It's really random, but we've done it for ages and people seem to enjoy it. First, let's have the joy of Simon McCoy and the new Raw Baby News.
Within 24 hours of some baby royal news, I've got some more. Pippa Middleton. Pippa Middleton, sister, of course, of Kate, has given birth. It says here, has given birth to a baby. There we go.
Hallelujah.
Pippa Middleton, sister of Kate, sister-in-law of William, has had a baby.
He's so good. Do you remember when we compared this song to Freya Ridings and I had to play it at half speed and it was horrible? Do you believe in life after
love? I can feel something.
No, I can't bear it. Turn it off. Turn it off!
Newsbeat.
Do you remember this is ages ago, a guy that was following a very specific diet?
8 o'clock in the morning, I'll have fish and a rice cake. At 10 o'clock, I'll have fish. At 12 o'clock, I'll have fish and a rice cake.
Bodybuilder diet, innit? From the film William and Kate, straight to TV, never at the cinema.
He Botswana'd her.
Is that what you call it?
It's his move, but it's the first time he's ever taken a girl there so quickly. Apparently, she's an actress.
And he says he doesn't like publicity.
And she's American.
Oh, no. They're so loud.
Have you not seen the film yet?
No, I still haven't seen it. I need to
talk about Harry and Meghan there, of course. And now over to Crime Watch Roadshow.
He's been a police horse for about 12, 13 years.
He's very busy. We know that he polices pop concerts, huge crowds. What else does he do?
Yeah, he was in Rihanna last night.
Classic bingo. Let's take you back to 2009, where I announced the Christmas number one with a ridiculous bit of tension. Who is this week's number two on the official chart 2009 for Christmas?
Two.
It's Joe.
I wish someone else had just stepped in there and said it.
Before me?
Yeah.
Oi, oi, yous!
Yep. I heard Greg play this morning. One of my favourite American news clips ever.
Right after the break, we're going to interview Eric Weihenmayer, who climbed the highest mountain in the world, Mount Everest. But he's gay. I mean, he's gay, excuse me, he's blind.
But
one of the best ever. Okay, who've we got? We've got Sam and Dan building a house in Midsummer Norton. They say, oi, oi, yes!
Oi, oi, yes!
Oh, wow. Are you getting loads of messages from the same person?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's loads of messages. Loads of people sort of working hard right now. Mark Kelly bumbling his expanding foam off, something like that. And Glenn from Suffolk, who's bumbling his nail gun off right now. 5-star gap.
Thank you. Felix in Droitwich has been on. John in Devon. That last clip has killed me off, says Andy the painter. Dan in Essex is spraying doors. Where are the girls at today? Come on.
It's a bit too many men at the moment.
A little bit. Oh, here we go. Rachel in Coventry. We get it, Alex in Farmington. You're listening. Ashley in Caerphilly putting up a mirror, enjoying the gap today. Ben and James clay shooting at Harper Adams Uni.
Oh,
Ross in Oxford bumbling his stability off.
Gives me my stability. Jenny from Leighton Buzzard bumbling whilst doing accounts.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh. Getting this in my mouth is too good.
Hello to Helen Brown and boyfriend. I'm blowing nuts off right now.
Hello, Channing is currently in B&M Bargains, loving the celebrity-endorsed perfumes on sale. Look, there's Beyoncé's Heat. Hello, Kat. First day at a new job in Luton.
Paddy in Chichester. Nick and Jamie in Aylesbury, painting away.
And Tom in Somerset.
But he's gay.
See you later.
Blazing!
Scott Mills, BBC
Radio 1.
Scott Mills.
Martin is 21 and from Salford in Greater Manchester. Hello.
Hi there, guys.
Are you right?
I'm good, you?
Yeah, about to go to work. Where do you work?
I work in Marriott Hotel.
Okay, which one?
Near the airport.
Oh, you see, I am fascinated by airport hotels.
In what sense?
They've got a different vibe because people are only there, really, not because they're on holiday and want to be there, because they're in transit and they're generally going somewhere else. They're not really chosen to be there. And that creates a different atmosphere, I think. What do you think, Martin?
Definitely, yeah. There's some strange people, bizarre people, and also famous people that I've seen as well.
Oh, yeah, you must get the famouses because they're flying out of the airport. Who have you seen? Who have you seen? Or you're not allowed to tell me?
I've seen one player from Manchester United Football Club. I can't remember his name, embarrassingly. I don't know who it was, but I just know they were from the club.
Okay.
Yeah, it is a funny vibe. You're right when you think about it, because especially when there's plane delays or flights get cancelled, everyone ends up in the hotel really, really angry.
Yeah, do you get angry people?
We actually had an 80-people flight delay and we had to put on a dinner at really late notice. That was a bit of a pain.
And do they give you the beef?
Yeah, all of the beef comes to us, all of it.
Mm-hmm. Also in the airport, I sometimes think, I feel sorry for those people, you know, sometimes. Like on those old TV shows, like Airline and Airport. It's not their fault the plane's delayed.
No, but equally, from your position, Martin, you get to see everyone as if you're watching one of those TV shows. You can see all the angry passengers going, well, this just is not acceptable.
I know, we get... I think the reception lot get the grief, I think. But we're quite lucky in the department I'm in. But especially when the banquets and the buffets go wrong, that's when I get the issues.
Ooh. Okay, listen. I know you're about to start your shift, so maybe I can pick you up with this. Since we mentioned it the other day, Grimmy had to choose Avril Lavigne's best song on his show. And do you remember I mentioned this one? I was like, is it Girlfriend? It wasn't, but that's my banger's choice for today.
What was the choice he went with?
It was I'm With You,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I think that's the right choice. Okay, Martin, you can have that. Or my choice today is this.
Ooh.
I loved this era of Guetta. He was banging one out every 2 days. It was amazing.
Right, literally.
This is David Guetta feat. Akon, Sexy Chick. I forgot it was that version as well. I originally chose it.
I'm glad that you picked that version rather than the other.
Yeah.
Okay, Martin, it's over to you at this point.
Now, I like Scott's, but it's... I actually started to dance in the car as soon as Chris's track came on. So I think today it's going to have to go to Chris.
Oh, yes, poor Avril.
What a week.
Unexpected fluids.
This is Riyadh and Alex, and we are back for another round of stories of sexual encounters gone sideways.
You're not a little Jedi.
Oh my God, I am terrified.
We cover everything in and out of the bedroom.
From the embarrassing to the unusual.
The bed just goes, nah mate, and folds up on everybody.
It's wildly unpredictable.
And could go just about anywhere, and usually does.
Would you have sex in a port-a-loo though?
I haven't.
Download it now from BBC Sounds or wherever you found this podcast.
Yeah.
a sexy chick.
Andy says, actually forgot how good that is. Nice one, Chris.
Great song, terrible lyrics.
I mean, terrible lyrics. And I only just realised now, because at the time when the song comes out, you're like, you just accept it for what it is.
Yeah.
Listening back a few years later, that was Sexy Chick by David Guetta. And who else? Akon, is it? Where's Akon then, eh?
To be fair, there is one line in that song. I'm trying to find the word to describe you without being disrespectful.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a challenge in itself.
I know.
Just trying to find the words to describe you, Scott.
Without being disrespectful.
Without being disrespectful.
Mm.
I'll think on.
Of course, the original version is Sexy Fish.
Scott Mills.
I've said it before, I will never eat a cake sent in to Radio 1 addressed to me. I just won't do it. I wouldn't risk it. Turns out Meghan Markle's baking some homemade banana bread while on tour in Australia for a family she's visiting. Just rustle it up in a couple of hours. I still wouldn't eat it. You don't know what the kitchen was like, Chris.
Scott Mills.
Hello, Louise, who's studying, really bored in Runcorn. She's like, of course Meghan's got a clean kitchen. You don't know that. She was using, it wasn't her kitchen, it was someone else's in Australia.
Also, you'd think she's probably in a bit of a hurry with it all. Do you know what I mean? And just, yeah, not much care put into it.
Did she wash her hands, etc.?
She's been holding a lot of animals recently, isn't
right.
she?
Right.
Scott Mills.
Our listener, Georgia, has an ongoing situation with her boyfriend. He was expecting her to buy the new FIFA for him, as is tradition in their relationship. But last time she did buy it for him, which was last year, she got absolutely nothing back. She thought she'd get more attention. He disappeared for months and she became a FIFA widow. So because of what happened last year, she decided not to get it for him this year. If he bought it himself, she was going to prank him by turning the TV off every time he was scoring.
Oh, yeah, she had a number of ideas about ways to wind him up in revenge for all of this.
But then, because he listens to the show, he rumbled us.
He actually heard the show and kind of played it while I was in the room with a big smile on his face, like quite pleased that he'd uncovered our plan. So I didn't buy him it, I stuck to my guns. And even when we were stood in a supermarket and I was holding it in front of his face, saying, go on, just buy it, he would not do it because he would not give us the satisfaction.
So that's where we're at.
What a strange situation to be in. It's like a stalemate.
They're both so stubborn. This is why. Hello, Georgia.
Hi.
So where are we at now?
Well, I gave in.
Oh, what?
I know. I'm really sorry. I felt really disappointed in myself.
So last time we spoke, there was kind of a standoff because neither of you had purchased it yet, but you've now caved.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I saw an engagement ring that I really like. So I thought that if I got on FIFA first and then showed him the engagement ring, I probably had like a better chance.
So you're like, put a ring on it, please. Here's
Hang
FIFA.
On, what shop were you in that sold both FIFA and a ring?
No, I found it online.
Oh.
I mean, that's a fairly big hint that he should probably do something about that quite soon.
I mean, it's not really a hint anymore at this point. I feel like I've bullied him into it, but we'll see.
But listen, so the original plan was that you were going to prank him. So no pranks at all then?
Yeah, there has been. So I wrapped it up. But what I actually did was wrap his old FIFA up. And I was like, I'm just kidding. Like, I got you a present. And when he opened it, it was his old FIFA. And he was like, "Ah." Oh.
Worst thing you can do to someone that enjoys that game is buy them a version that's like 3 years old. Because you don't want to be rude and be, you know, you appreciate the effort and everything. It's the kind of thing I reckon a lot of grands do by accident.
Right.
They hear that you want FIFA, but buy you one.
Yeah, got the wrong one.
Cheaper.
Yeah.
I just got the one that was in the shop. God, it's a prank a day, at least in your relationship, isn't it? Do you ever think, like, I just have a normal day where we're like, we're not just basically being really stubborn and trying to outdo each other?
I think probably sometimes, but at the moment we're both on high alert. When he was playing the game, he kept the remote by his side and wouldn't let me like anywhere near it while he was playing. Instead of that, I just like was jumping in front of him when he was scoring his goals. I think it was like his first career mode game. I don't know what that means or if it's important, but yeah.
Do you know what you need? And it was something that I used to use at school. Proper Who, great Who this, was a remote control watch. And
what
it was amazing.
Mean?
So whenever, let's say it was chemistry, and they'd wheel out a video that we had to watch, I would be there turning off the TV. I had it synced to this. It was always like a massive square TV that they'd wheel out, a really old.
Always a prankster.
And
That's
but loads of people would have had these watches. They were amazing at the time. I love your wacky relationship, though.
I'm just worried that if and when I do get an engagement ring off him, that he's going to get on one knee and then show me the ring and then be like, no, just kidding.
Well, that will probably happen, yes.
It'll be like an electric engagement ring, won't it? It'll just sort of buzz you or something.
Light up.
Yeah, light up. Rubbish.
All right. Good to speak to you, Georgia.
You too.
Keep me updated on the craziness.
Love you, bye.
Scott Mills.
Yes, Ricky and Porth Cool. Used to do the same. Used to have that same watch that could turn over the TV. Be in the English class, and Mr. Huxley would play the most boring films that I'd have to write a project on. Simple. Turn it off. One flick of the watch.
It was an error as well, because the TV was actually the fun lessons, wasn't it?
Well, looking back, like with hindsight, it's a beautiful thing. The TV, that was the highlight. At the time you thought this is boring. Actually, those were the best lessons.
Well, that's it. When the teacher then rolled away the TV and was like, right, we'll crack on with some work then. No, that wasn't what this was about.
Oh, no. It's nearly that time of week again, you know. Sneaks up on you. I mean, it's great for us lot listening, but not really for the person involved. Obviously, at one point or another, your mum and dad did have to have a sexy moment. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. And tomorrow, another listener will hear exactly when that moment was, and where and when they were conceived, on where do you think they were? The story of your parents and where they made you. Do you want to be on? Are your parents cool? Let me know. scott.mills@bbc.co.uk.
Scott Mills.
You know what this sounds like, actually, Scott? This sounds like at the end of a concert. Do you know what I mean?
My name's Dan. This is Bastille. Thanks very much for coming.
There's Marshmallow.
Good night. It is that bit, isn't it? That bit of the gig.
I always love that bit of any gig, but then I'm always really annoyed because you think you can squeeze one more song out of them by going, one more song. It never happens. Lights go up. It's cruel.
They don't care, do they? And everyone's going one more song, but they've got to stick to the set.
It's always worth trying, though. And it happens every time. Everyone tries.
I don't know if you know this, but, like, most massive pop gigs are not spontaneous. They can't just do one more song.
And it's annoying when you know the ins and outs that they do the same talking points in between.
We've talked about this before and it really gets people, but I'm telling you, they're doing the same jokes and the same banter in between the same songs each night and they can't change it because if they suddenly did one more song, like...
Well, there's implications.
Right, the lighting guy. The lighting guy doesn't know what to do. Do you know what I mean? This person says, I'm really curious on where do you think they were, as much as I enjoy it, how the parents can pinpoint the exact time and location. Are they only doing it once a month or less?
Well, that's what we'd like to think.
Yes, they are.
Scott Mills.
We should do a couple of shout-outs for podcasts here, actually, because there are people that, at the moment, can't listen live because of the time zone or where they are in the world. Like Sarah Montague, who's on her year out at the moment, travelling around Southeast Asia. Got an email from her. She gets the podcast every day.
I love that.
Yeah, I like it.
I love
that
people take us travelling. There's lots of people that we get messages from that say they enjoyed the podcast out and about.
So, is your voice okay today?
sorry. I got emotional.
I don't know. It's done that. Oh, this has gone up
and
down.
Around the world.
A couple of times today.
Sorry, it's just puberty.
Finally, we've got Scott, who is travelling around Australia, currently in Melbourne. I would love to go there. It's like just providing a little piece of home, you know? Quite comforting if you're away from friends and family and that. So if you do listen to us just on podcast, then let us know and we can give you a mention on the forthcoming show.
Scott Mills.
Yes, Gina, her daughter Nicole works in Auckland, New Zealand, always listens to our podcasts. So she'll hear this in the future when she wakes up and hears it.
It's kind of weird to think of, but nice all the same.
Because as I've told you before, like... Some countries are asleep now because there's different time zones and that.
Babe. Don't begin.
Hello, Radio 1, who's that?
Hi, Scott, it's Helen. I've got some news about custard cruncher and salt.
Oh,
this is what someone called you once.
I can't keep up. Right, so recently I played the first Christmas song of the year on Radio 1 and broke the seal. And someone messaged in calling me a custard cruncher, which I thought was really offensive. Turns out it's not. It's just said that I'm a custard cruncher. Why? What have you got?
Well, Well, you've hit peak fame. Urban Dictionary has updated and added the insult to their website.
What does it say on Urban Dictionary?
It says, BBC Radio 1 DJ Scott Mills takes it upon himself to ruin people September by playing All I Want for Christmas Is You. Hashtag get off my radio, you custard cruncher. You should be suspended.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's brutal.
Well, at least it's a description of an insult rather than what normally goes on the Urban Dictionary, which is a move.
Yes. Okay, well, I think I'm glad.
I would say it's good. I mean, it's up there with the bridge.
Yeah, I think so.
Scott Mills.
Earlier, we were talking about maybe launching our own scent, our own cologne. And actually, Grimmy was texting us, weren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Saying that there was a girl that used to be on before you or worked with you.
Yeah, Sarah works at Radio 1 and Radio 1 Extra.
Right, before you did the breakfast show.
Yeah, she would work with Adele Roberts in the morning. So I feel like you're quite smell sensitive early in the morning. Like if you smell a bad smell and you've just woke up, you're like, ugh!
Yeah.
And I'd always go and be like, ugh, what's that smell? And she'd be like, it's Britney Spears, thank you very much. And she still wears Britney Spears.
Great you've named her there as well.
Yeah, hi. Loads of people do. Like we had a girl on earlier. Yeah, we had a girl on earlier. Worn it for 10 years. We had someone on that will never admit it, but wears Nicole Scherzinger's.
Oh,
I know. And the guy that wears Michael Bublé's one, of course. Katy Perry's had several, including my favourite, Killer Queen.
Oh yeah, I saw that she's got one the other day. That's called Indie. Are you indie?
Have you ever actually, worn one?
I've never wore one. I have smelled. You know, I was listening before and someone said they smelled Dermot's and they really like it.
Yeah.
I did smell Dermot's and it wasn't offensive. I won't go as far as wearing it, but...
But not too offensive.
No.
Okay. I didn't even know he had one.
Yeah.
Okay, Grimmy's coming up at 4. You've got to choose Dizzy Rascal's best song at 6 tonight.
Scott Mills.
I'm slightly fearful of today's honesty game with Nick Grimshaw on Radio 1 because it features Molly King. And last time when I was on, I chose and said that she would be the Radio 1 DJ I didn't want to go out for a drink with.
Yeah, that's an error. But I've never heard her be proper honest.
No, but there was a reason. This is the reason I gave at the time. I don't hate Molly King. It's just that we... Okay, here's the thing. We keep going. We keep WhatsApping each other going, must have that wine soon. Uh-huh. And she's like, yeah, we must. It's never going to happen.
Mm.
It's never going to happen because I don't think she... I think she does like me, but I don't think she would entertain an afternoon of drinking.
No.
No, she wouldn't.
Like, no, absolutely not.
She'd be a bit like Nicki Minaj in the studio.
In and
25
out.
Minutes max.
Mate, she'd be out of her depth.
Yeah. I really like that. Never going to happen. Never going to happen.
Scott Mills.
It's awkward for them, but great for the rest of us. Another listener finds out exactly how and where they were conceived from one of their parents tomorrow from 3 p.m. on Where Do You Think They Were? We're on from 1 on Radio 1.